Christian. Greetings, everyone. It's 8 p.m. Central Time, Sunday evening, and it's time for another Truth Provider broadcast. This is Nicholas from Presence of God Ministry. The website is www.remnantofgod.org. The new phone number to call in is area code 559-781-3773. This week, as I promised, I have a guest on the show. You may remember him from our Mark of the Beast series we did back in late June. He's the founder of Let There Be Light Ministries at lightministries.com. And please welcome pastor and author Robert Sessler to the show. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing fine, Nicholas, and thank you for having me back.
Well, thanks for coming back. It's nice to have you come on every, once a month so that we can discuss these doctrines that have seemed to invade Christendom, some of the strange doctrines that have literally come out of hell. Like it says in the last days, doctrines of demons, traditions of men and whatnot. But,
yes.
But thanks again for coming on the show.
Oh, you're very welcome. This evening we have a very, extremely important topic to discuss, dealing with the subject of death and what happens after death and what is that whole issue devolving around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the devil's been saying since the Garden of Eden, you shall not surely die. So
true. True. In fact, that's where the original lie came from, mm-hmm. is that you can disobey God and not die, but live forever.
Yeah.
So we're going to be going into that topic this evening. Before we start, since it's such an important topic, I would like to invite our listeners to bow their heads just for a short prayer.
Okay.
Precious Father, from whom all light emanates, we pray that you will lead and guide thy people through thy Spirit into all the truth. We claim John 16:13 and John 14:26 that thy Spirit will indeed be our teacher, leading and guiding us into all truth and freeing us from error. Thank you for being here and for hearing and answering this prayer. In thy name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
You know, brother, there are so many conflicting beliefs about death and what it is like beyond the grave that, it becomes difficult for the average individual to know which belief or which doctrine is true in this topic.
Mm-hmm.
But, has God left his people to wonder about this important subject without giving them some insights into his word on which is the truth?
So, yes.
No, in fact, we're told in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So all scripture is inspired by God, then it is from these sacred pages that we can safely find the sure foundation for our doctrine and also the reproof and correction for any of our errors.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And, thus from the scriptures we can obtain the pure knowledge of truth. So on this particular subject of death, what does God state about it in his word? First of all, what is death? The Bible refers over and over again that death is just like being asleep. In fact, in the Old Testament times, when someone died, it was declared that he went to sleep with his fathers. You can find several references in 1 Kings chapter 2, also chapter 11 and 14 and 15, etc. It's just multiple places there in Kings. In New Testament times, death was also likened to being asleep. You can find this reference in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 30, chapter 15 verse 20, and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 14. So both the Old and the New Testament declares that being dead is just like being asleep. In fact, those that are familiar with the scriptures, especially the Gospels, will remember that when Christ was talking about his friend Lazarus, he said in John 11, verses 11 to 14, he says, "Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death. But they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. So Christ himself declared that his dead friend Lazarus was just sleeping, and Lazarus was, of course, waiting to be awakened out of sleep or brought back to life from his death.
Mm-hmm.
So being dead is just like being asleep. And for those that like to use the scriptures to verify everything that is spoken to them, like the noble Berean, you can find this particular idea in Matthew chapter 27, verse 52, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51, and Daniel 12, 2. All of those references deal with being awakened out of sleep, referring to being dead until Christ comes. But, you know, when we die or fall asleep, what happens? Does the Bible record this?
Yes.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, it does.
I praise God for giving us the answers in His Word.
Yes.
I mean, we have to do a little bit of digging, a little bit of searching to want to know where the truth is, and
yes.
God has promised to lead and direct our steps in this path.
Yeah, this is one of the reasons that the enemy attacks the scriptures, because there's so many answers right in there, and that's why you have all these altered Bibles today, or just the fact that back in 1229 A.D. when the Catholic Church would burn Bibles, because, you know, to try to prevent this truth from coming out. And like today, like Amos said, there's a famine in the land. You know, it's very hard to find people that actually dig into their scriptures.
Yes, yes. And in searching through all the various versions, the best version that I have found that clearly relates the truth is the King James version. All the other versions that you will look at, some of them are better than others, but they will in some way change or alter the Hebrew or the Greek text to teach something that was not originally there. But the King James, from what I have found, is the best version to find the truth as it is in Jesus.
Yeah. Me too. I've checked out quite a few. I even got a page on the site called Bogus Bibles, where I show the NIV and the NASB to the favored Bibles of today, and how there's about 2,000 verses either removed or just altered to where to actually change the meaning of the scripture.
Wow. Well, I know one of the versions removes just about every reference to the blood of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that's where we find cleansing from.
Yep.
So with Christ's shed blood removed, then we find no cleansing from sin. But back to the topic.
Okay.
So when we die or fall asleep, what happens? God tells us in Psalms 146, verse 4, His breath goeth forth, He returneth to His earth, in that very day His thoughts perish. So God states that when we die, we no longer have any thoughts or mental processes. So there is no consciousness in the grave. And I know a lot of individuals have been taught just the opposite of this. And as we go through the scriptures, I plead with these individuals to have an open mind and allow God to lead and guide you into all truth. So when we die, God's word states that we no longer have any thoughts or mental processes, and there is no consciousness in the grave. So as this is true, will God show anyone who has died any of His wonders, whether past, present, or future, in the grave? And the scriptures tell us no. In Psalms 88, verses 10 through 12, God states, Wilt thou show wonders to the dead? Shall the dead arise and praise thee? Shall thy loving kindness be declared in the grave? Or thy faithfulness in destruction? Shall thy wonders be known in the dark, and thy righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? So, once we die, it is not like a proving ground where God will show us His wonders, whether past, present, or future, because that cannot take place in the grave. How about after we die, will we praise the Lord in the grave?
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible says no. in Psalms 115, verse 17. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. So will we even remember the Lord in the grave? And the Bible says in Psalm 6:5, for in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave, who shall give thee thanks? So after we die, we will not praise the Lord. We will not even remember the Lord in the grave. We are just there sleeping. But will anyone else, will we see anyone else after we are dead? You know, some have been taught that they go to either to purgatory, or they either go to heaven, or they go to a place called limbo, where...
Or they even go to hell.
Yeah. So, does the scriptures teach this particular idea, this particular belief? Will we see anyone else after we die? In Isaiah chapter 38, verses 10 through 11, I said, in the cutting off of my days, I shall go to the gates of the grave. I shall behold man no more with the inhabitants of the world. No, but surely, don't we see our loved ones and friends coming to our grave to pay us respect? What does God's word state? In Job 14, verses 10 and 21, man dieth and wasteth away, yea, man giveth up the ghost. His sons come to honor, and he knoweth it not.
Yeah. So those, like those songs that you hear, grandma looking down through holes in the floor of heaven, it's just... It's impossible. No one's seeing anything that's going on down here, in regards to the dead people.
True. There has been, as we mentioned before in the beginning of the program, all the way back to the Garden of Eden, the original lie that the devil told Eve was, you can disobey God and still live forever. You can eat the fruit and not die, but live forever. And this particular belief of the immortality of the soul has weaved itself into the belief system of many of the various denominations and religious persuasions today. But it all has its foundation all the way back in the original lie told to Eve.
Yep.
And that's why it is so important that we allow God's word to reprove us and to correct us and to lead us in the way of righteousness. To allow Christ to indeed, as we're told in John 8:32, that ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free.
Amen. That's so nice the way that's the thing I like about the scriptures. I mean, it's the Lord just never changes. I mean, we know that's what it says in Malachi. I am the Lord, I change not. But it's always nice to be able to, like, for example, if somebody was to backslide or something like that, and they walk away from the Lord for 20 years, and they decide to rededicate their life to go back to the Word, it says the same thing it did 20 years ago. It never changes.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. So the Bible teaches that those who have died really do not know anything. And this is exactly what the Bible says in clear language. In the book Ecclesiastes, chapter 9 and verse 5, for the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. Neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. So truly, being dead is just like being asleep, exactly as Christ stated to his disciples.
Yeah. But they're not even going to know they were dead. Like, for example, when King David grabbed his chest, 4,000 years ago, when he wakes up on the last day, it'll be like he just died a moment ago as far as he's concerned. He doesn't know he's been laying there for 4,000 years.
Yeah, just like after you fall asleep at night, the next thing you know is it's morning.
Yeah, you don't remember tossing and turning and snoring all night.
Yeah, that 8 hours has gone by just like a flash.
Yeah.
But many have been taught that at death, some go straight to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
But does God teach that we go to heaven and see the Lord after we die? In Isaiah chapter 38, verses 10 and 11, we're told, I shall go to the gates of the grave, I shall not see the Lord, even the Lord, in the land of the living. But others have been taught that their dead relatives are in heaven who are watching over them and working for their good through various means and methods.
Yeah.
Like you mentioned the song about grandma looking...
Yeah, through the holes in the floor of heaven. Yeah, I was just going to bring that up again, but that's how you're taught. I mean, that's how I was taught when I was a kid, you know? And,
yeah.
And especially if a loved one died, you always had a feeling like, are they looking at me or... am I going to wake up one night in the middle of the night and see, grandma at the other end of the bed,
Yeah. Again, is this what the Bible teaches? That's what we have to take all of our beliefs to, is the Scriptures, the unerring Word of God, to see if it is indeed true. So does the Bible teach that our dead relatives are in heaven watching over us and working for our good?
No.
In Ecclesiastes 9:10, God tells us, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest."
You can't get more blunt than that.
That's true. And, in correcting our beliefs, the Bible is like a two-edged sword. It cuts both ways,
mm-hmm.
but in cutting both ways, it doesn't do it with animosity. It doesn't do it with hatred against us. It does it for our good.
Amen.
Just like a physician, when he's taking out a cancer, wants to make sure he has a good border around the cancer so none of it remains when he removes it. It's the same with the Word of God. It corrects us in such a way that there's none of the error remaining. And thus we are indeed set free from the error and are able to live in the truth.
Yeah, but the error does definitely bog you down. It does cause problems in people's lives. It's not designed by God to embrace error.
True, this is true. When the Bible does its cutting, it's done in love. But of course, being cut or having something removed from us is not pleasurable. But yet if we keep our eyes on Jesus, who is the truth, who is the master physician, and who is doing the cutting, the Word of God, then we have no fear. Even though it may hurt, we know that it is for our best. It is purifying ourselves in the knowledge of God. But, what about those who believe that they have actually seen or even talked to their dead loved ones, apparently raised from the dead?
Yeah, I've dealt with that quite a bit in the last few years with some friends, and it's pretty amazing how that kind of comes to be, and I'm sure you're going to relay that to our listeners.
Yes, it can be an almost overwhelming surprise.
Mm-hmm.
But does the Bible say that these are actually our dead loved ones come back? And in Job 14:12, we're told, "So man lieth down and riseth not, till the heavens be no more, they shall not awake nor be raised out of their sleep." So the Bible says that the dead are remaining in the graves until the heavens be no more. In other words, until Christ's second coming.
Yes.
So there cannot be any of our dead loved ones who are returning from the grave before Christ's return and talking to us.
Yeah, but someone here tossing a coin like the psychics and like the John Edwards guy that's on the TV, and I says, oh, he's communicating. He knows things that no one else knows.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
What about those who believe in or who have seen what's termed ghosts, or spirits of the dead that haunt houses or graveyards, or who even might help people in various situations? What does the Bible say about these? In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verses 5 and 6, "The dead know not anything, neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. Neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun."
Yeah, they can't do anything on planet Earth.
True. So the Bible says that the dead have no memory of when they were alive,
mm-hmm.
while they're in the grave.
Yeah.
So they couldn't even remember anyone or anything that they either loved or hated, cherished or envied during their lifetime on the earth.
So who is it that's standing at the end of the bed looking like grandma?
True. I mean, you know, so even if the dead loved ones could come back as a ghost or a spirit, they couldn't even remember who they were to haunt or help.
Exactly.
Because their memory is forgotten.
So it's just the demon standing there acting like grandma.
True.
If that's what these people are seeing, because, you know, you hear stuff like this. And...
Well, it has to be another force that's impersonating
mm-hmm.
these dead loved ones.
Exactly.
You know, many have actually seen ghosts and spirits in various apparitions.
Yeah.
Others have heard unexplained noises and seen supernatural phenomena.
Yeah, I've had some personal experiences with it before becoming a Christian, and I rarely will speak of it. I don't plan on speaking of it tonight either. Because it's, you know, when you find out what it really is, all you're going to end up doing is glorifying Satan anyway. But it's just like Rome. Look what they're doing with Our Lady of Fatima or Garibandal or Mandragora. They're saying it's Mary coming back from the grave and relaying messages from heaven.
And the Bible says it can't be.
It can't happen. So it can't be Mary. Plus, all you got to do is just verify. Because the Bible does say if there's a spirit that comes from heaven, you know, try the spirits and see if they are of God.
Yeah, test them.
Test them, yeah. And that's what I got a page on the site that says it's not Mary. It's in the warning section. And I just take some statements that this so-called Mary made from beyond the grave, and I try to match them up with Scripture, and it can't be done.
True,
so.
True. Now, see, you brought up an excellent point, brother. Many, when they hear this broadcast or when they find the Bible stating something contradicting their belief in their dead loved ones being in heaven or Mary coming back, etc., they'll run to their priest or to their pastor and say, is this true? And, of course, their priest and pastor will say, no, we don't believe that. This is what we believe. But is it what God's Word teaches?
Yeah, we have to obey God rather than men.
You know, we started the program with 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, that all Scripture, it didn't say all the words of men or all the doctrines of the church, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. So where do we find the basis or foundation for all our doctrine? It's God's Word.
I like bringing up the... they had a similar situation with this in the book of Acts regarding the body of King David, if you recall.
Yes.
Yeah. And they, you know, back then they thought that, you know, he was in heaven. But in Acts chapter 2, it says quite the opposite. And that's, I like to bring that up, especially on the street sometimes, where I'll, says, well, okay, you know King David was a man that committed murder and adultery and all this other stuff, but he also repented perfectly. So much so that out of his lineage we have Christ, right?
Yes.
And for, you know, the house of David. And so the scriptures also says that this is a man after God's own heart. So what do you think? Do you think King David's in heaven? Well, I always get a resounding yes every time. But if you go to Acts chapter 2, verses 29 and 34, it says otherwise. It says that, men and brethren, let me speak freely unto you with the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. For David is not ascended into the heavens. And that's after the cross of Christ that statement is made.
True.
So, it's it always, it just brought up, I mean, it just sparked my memory on that one. What is this saying here?
Oh, well, praise the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, since the Bible of Truth teaches that ghosts cannot be the actual dead person's spirit raised back to life, then who are these apparitions claiming to be Mary and, you know, maybe even the apostles come back?
Yeah.
Who are these apparitions?
Even with Saul in 1 Samuel.
Yeah, the, going to the witch of Endor.
Yeah.
That wasn't Samuel that actually came back.
No, but he was convinced it was.
Yeah.
Because it was, I mean, the mannerisms, probably the odors, and the
same tone of voice.
Everything. Yeah, it's going to be with the glaring eye or whatever. You know, whatever it is the person has, the demon knows. I mean, these are, you know, angels we're dealing with. I mean, fallen angels. But they do have an uncanny ability to, I mean, they're just genius. You know,
yeah,
and,
to personate.
Yeah, they can do whatever they want.
In Revelation, the last book of the Bible, chapter 12, verses 7 to 9, and also chapter 16, verse 14, the Bible tells us exactly who these apparitions claiming to be the dead come back to life are. We're told in Revelation 12, 7, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world. So there are indeed ghosts or spirits that are seen today, but yet not one of these are dead people come back from the grave.
And it's going to get a lot worse because that's one of the end time prophecies.
True.
Yeah.
True. These apparitions or ghosts or whatever, they are only evil angels or spirits of devils whom were cast out of heaven. And these evil beings are only pretending to be the dead ones come back to life. You know, and it doesn't matter whom they impersonate. They could even come back as the Apostle Paul or other followers of Christ.
Yeah.
Now, in fact, the more widely known the dead individual, such as Mary, the better to impersonate them.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, but why do these evil angels impersonate the dead and sometimes even communicate information to those whom they contact? What's their purpose? Their whole purpose for communicating with the living is to deceive people and try to get them to believe that the information that they give them is really the truth.
Mm-hmm. And they're also called God a liar. Because, I mean, if this stuff, if these, like say, if it is your dead grandma at the other end of that bed, standing there looking at you, then the entire Bible's a lie.
True.
Yeah.
True.
Because it says it's not your dead grandma.
No, but is it God that lies?
No.
Or is it the devil along with his evil angels that lie?
He's the one of you. Exactly.
You know, Christ answered the question for us. In John chapter 8, verse 44, he says,
yep.
He, or the devil, abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it.
That's his native tongue. It's a lie. He's very good at it.
He's had 6,000 years.
Yeah, to practice on mankind.
Yeah. So, we are not to believe any of the information relayed by these apparitions or so-called spirits of the dead because it is nothing but lies. And the biggest lie which the devil and his angels have tried to pawn off as being true is the belief that when we die, our soul is
Well, we've got to cut for a break here. We'll be back in about 3 or 4 minutes, folks. Please, if you have any questions or comments, you can call in at 559-781-3773. Everyone, this is Nicholas, President of Death Ministry. The website is www.remnantofgod.org. We're talking about death on the show this week. We have a guest with us today, pastor and author Robert Sessler of Let There Be Light Ministries at lightministries.com. I don't recall exactly what we were talking about right before the break, but it was something I want to expound on a little bit there.
Yeah, we were talking about that any of the information that ghosts or apparitions or, you know, supposed loved ones come back from the grave give us is actually lies that come from the devil, who is the father of all lies.
Yeah.
And one of the biggest lies that the devil and his evil spirits have tried to pawn off as being true is the belief that when we die, our soul continues to live on.
Yeah.
And this falsehood, you know, is also known as the immortality of the soul, and multitudes have been duped into believing that it is really true. But is humanity immortal? We're told in Job 4, verse 17, and Romans 6, 12, that all human beings are mortal, not immortal. In fact, God alone only hath immortality, as 1 Timothy 6:16 tells us.
Amen.
So all the scriptures that we've gone over so far, and there's many more, but the ones that we've gone over so far have declared that at death we do not go on living for eternity, we do not go to heaven or to hell at death, but we rest in the grave. Nor do we reincarnate into some other creature, as in the pagan belief of the endless circle of life.
Yeah.
You know, which is a continual rebirthing only to die again.
Yeah.
We're told in Hebrews 9:27 that it is appointed unto men once to die. Not many times, but once to die, and after this, the judgment. So God mercifully declares that human beings will die once, not many times.
Amen.
And to believe in reincarnation, that if you didn't quite make it as far in the progress of spiritual attainment as you could have during this life, you'll come back as an insect,
yeah,
or an animal, or maybe a human life form, or maybe even a human, you know, to progress farther. Well, God says that that is not the truth. We're given one chance to be alive, and after this, the judgment. You know, but the big question which needs to be asked is, what causes humanity to die in the first place? We're told in Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, and Genesis chapter 3, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the Lord God called unto Adam, and said unto him, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. So God says that death began when his command or law was disobeyed and broken. But what actually occurs when we disobey or transgress God's law or his command? We're told in 1 John 3, verse 4, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. So in breaking God's law, we commit sin. And what happens because of our choice to sin? In Romans 6:23, we're told, the wages of sin is death.
Yeah, not eternal life. It says death.
True. Now, you know, who's the author of and originator of all sin and death? Is it God?
No.
No, we're told in Ezekiel 28:15, speaking about the devil or Lucifer, thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. And then Christ says of the devil in John 8:44, he was a murderer from the beginning. Now, this tells us that God cannot be blamed for either sin or death in the world because it was the devil or Satan or Lucifer who was the originator and creator of all sin and death, and thus he alone is responsible for all the horror and the pain and the suffering that is caused because of it. You know, and since sin has entered the world with its penalty of death, humanity has ever since tried to find a way to circumvent death and to continue to live on.
Yep.
And the devil has been very successful in helping us believe that we can continue to live on after death through his deceiving lies. Multitudes believe the theory that sin only causes the penalty of death to our fleshly body, but our soul will continue to live on forever. But does the Bible teach this? In Ezekiel 18:20, we're told, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." It doesn't say it lives on forever. It says it shall die. So the soul that sins does not live on forever, but it dies. And as all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, as we're told in Romans 3:23, then the soul of no dead human being has ever continued to live on after death. And this includes Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this belief that we are made up of a body and a separate soul is another lie directly from the devil and his evil spirit. And the next time that we meet together on the show is December the 12th.
Well, yeah.
We will be discussing this topic of what is a soul.
Yeah, the ingredients to make a soul.
Yes. You know, are we made up of a body plus a soul? And that when our body dies, does our soul continue to live on? You know, what does God's Word state about this?
Yeah.
That's what we're going to be talking about the next time that you have me back.
Okay, good.
You know, but is the lot of humanity to face death without any hope of ever escaping from its eternal grasp? Has anyone delivered us from this hopeless destiny? We're told in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9 and 14 and 15. It says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man."
Yeah. And that, by the way, is another verse that exposes the Trinity doctrine, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the Son can die, but the Father cannot. And most people teach with the Trinitarian doctrine that the God, you know, God the Father and God the Son are exactly the same.
Yes. Yes, but Christ was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, and has been crowned with glory and honor, that he should taste death for every man and every woman. Continuing in verse 14, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he," or Christ, "also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." So praise God, Jesus has mercifully provided a way that all of us can be delivered from this hopeless destiny of eternal death and have the chance of life again if we should die. We're told in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive."
Amen.
So there is hope for those who have accepted Christ, that if they should die, they have a chance of eternal life.
Yep, there's still those that, because what we've shared so far will probably, hopefully, convince those who believe in the ghosts and whatnot, poltergeists or psychics that talk to the dead. But there's still that small faction of people that have that life after death experience, so-called. You know,
yes.
Like that, they always say the same thing. They go to a tunnel, there's an angel of light at the other end of the tunnel or something that they got to go towards. And this fits right in with the topic, the fact that in 2 Corinthians 11:14 it says that of light.
Yes.
So, and the thing is, I mean, this is an angel you're coming in the presence of, and it's not something a human can handle. And, you know, they're going to have an overwhelming feeling of awe, and he's going to throw love or whatever he's going to make you feel, you know, to make it feel right or real. And so, like, it's just a scary thought when you think of it. You know, like most of the people that I haven't met any scholars, if you will, biblical scholars that have had life after death experiences, but you do hear the common man having it.
Right.
A lot.
That's true, but you know, should we trust what our eyes see and make that the foundation of our belief, or maybe what we feel is right?
That's what the devil hopes for. The doctor feel good. That's what he goes for. He goes with the senses, you know.
True. You know, and if that's all that God required of us, to believe what we think is right or feel is right or what someone else has told us is right, then he wouldn't have given us his word.
No, he wouldn't.
And the fact that he has given us his inspired word shows us that we can't trust what we may feel is right or think is right or go just with what people have told us is truth. But we need to search it out for ourselves. You know, Paul commended the noble Bereans because they took what he said, didn't believe it right off the bat, but they tested it to the word.
Mm-hmm.
And they found that what Paul was saying was exactly what God's word was saying.
That's what we need, more Bereans today.
Yes, indeed, especially in this topic of what happens after death.
Because it's running rampant. I mean, you can't turn a channel on a TV sometimes. And I only got like 3 or 4 channels where I live. Because I don't do the cable and the satellite stuff, you know. And every now and then you'll see that one psychic that's on Montel Williams, that whatever her name is, I can't remember, with the long fingernails, Sylvia or whatever. Sylvia Brown, I think it is. And then you have the John Edwards guy that has that talk show where he just talks to all the dead loved ones, you know.
Oh, boy.
And it's just getting worse and worse. And people are falling for this stuff, hook, line, and sinker. And the only way they're falling for it is because they're believing what the devil is showing their eyes, and they're not going into the scriptures to verify it. There's no Bereans in any of these crowds.
True. And we pray that Bereans will be found.
Yes. And then we pray that they will eventually go into the scriptures, because some of these people in these crowds do claim Christ as Lord. They just haven't opened the Bible in some cases, you know.
Well, if they have an honest heart,
yeah.
You know, if they really are hungering and thirsting to know the will of God and to follow it out of love for Him, God will be able to work with them. You know, but those who could care less, who would just have adopted the form of religion and not really care about the power that comes from Christ to live that religion.
Just like that one saying when a man who is honestly mistaken hears the truth, he will either quit being mistaken or he will cease to be honest.
Yes. True. But, you know, praise God that Christ has provided us a way of escape from death that we might be able to live again.
Yeah.
We're told in 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 and 12, "And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." So all of us can now have hope that there is indeed life after death, but only in Christ Jesus. No other human being, be he the president or the pope, be he an evangelist or a guru, a shaman or priest, none of these can offer anyone eternal life in truth.
No.
Life after death is only to be found in Jesus Christ, because it is only Jesus that has been given power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as are his, as we're told in John 17, verse 2. And you know, Jesus Christ is available to anyone, even those considered to be in the lowest scale of human worth or in the deepest pit of sin.
Yeah, exactly.
Christ is there for them if they will just turn to him for help.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter, rich or poor, or young or old. I mean, he's no respecter of persons, the scriptures say.
True. That's exactly true, brother. And we're told in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." So God invites you. He invites me. He invites Nicholas. He invites the drunkard that's in the gutter. He invites those that are in the deepest pit of sin to come to him with their whole heart, earnestly and longing to be set free. And we're promised that he will help you in every time of need.
This is a God that does not lie.
No. He is a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he.
Amen.
We're told in 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. So if you consider yourself the chief of sinners, Christ came into this world to save you. So all of us can now rest in hope that there is indeed life after death, but only in Christ Jesus. No longer need any of us be afraid of death unless we have not accepted Christ as our Savior and are not connected with him. So please, do not allow another moment to go by without getting on your knees, repenting of your sins, and asking Jesus to forgive you, pleading for him to take control of your life. We're told in the Bible that today is the day of our salvation, not tomorrow. So if you haven't given your heart to follow Jesus, do so now, because tomorrow may be too late.
Yeah, you never know, because especially in today's world with all these strange things that happen, it's like just the other day in my old neighborhood, there was a massive accident on the tollway where a young woman and her baby were killed, and you just don't know. I mean, no one gets dressed up in the morning and says, okay, honey, I'm off to work, I'm going to die today, you know, make sure I have my best shirt, best, no one knows. You know, you just don't know. That's why they call them accidents. They're not on purposes. Well, you got some people that commit suicide, but that's, you know, a whole different thing.
That's true. I mean, we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring to us. And that's why today is the day of our salvation.
Mm-hmm.
If the truth has come to you, it is your duty to search it out, to go to God's Word and make sure it is true. Now, we're told in Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20, that to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. So don't believe what Nicholas and myself have told you tonight. Take it to the Word of God and see if it is indeed true. Don't believe what your pastor or your elder or your priest or even the Pope himself tells you. Take it to the Word of God and see if it is true. Let God's Word be the foundation of your faith, of your belief.
Amen.
You know, as we started out the program, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all Scripture, it didn't say all church dogma, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It is God's Word that we are to test what people tell us is truth to make sure it is truth, or is it just another lie?
Yeah. Well,
you know, if you haven't given your heart to follow the truth as it is in Jesus, do so now. Don't be one of those who are deceived and lost because you refused to follow Bible truth and instead kept your doctrines that you were taught as a child, or that the priest taught you, or that your church has believed for decades, instead of following Bible truth.
And just because they believe it doesn't mean it's right. I mean, it could be right, but, you know, you have to, you know, no one is standing next to you on the last day saying, you know, okay, this person should go into heaven because of this. No, you do it on your own. Salvation is a personal experience. You don't, so, I mean, you're not going to, take a chance with your mortal life, putting your mortal life in the hands of another. Why would you do that with your spiritual life? Because your spiritual life is going to be, you know, your heaven, you know, eternal life is a lot longer than regular human life.
That's true.
That's true reality.
And just because multitudes have believed a particular doctrine for years, possibly hundreds of years, doesn't make it truth.
No, it doesn't. I mean, look at Noah. And there was only 8 people on the ark. The whole planet was wrong.
True. So there, the majority was wrong.
Yeah, usually it is the majority, because the scriptures say that, you know, the remnant of our seed is where the truth is being true.
True, and a remnant is just the last part.
Yeah.
Just the remaining from the whole.
So the bigger the church, it's usually the bigger the problem. like with the Catholic Church, you got 1.2 billion, and I think the Muslims are up to about 1 billion now. And,
wow.
And usually, you know, the bigger the church, it usually causes red flags to pop up, you know, because it's being embraced by the world. It's something that everybody, it's attractive. It's something the world wants.
Well, in fact, if you examine the common thread of belief between the Eastern mystic religions and modern Christianity today, that common thread of belief is that when you die, your soul continues to live on.
Yeah.
So you don't really die when you die, because you're still alive. That's the common thread that connects the modern religions of today with the paganistic and spiritualistic religions that are present today. And of course, you can trace that lie all the way back through Babylon and Nimrod, and all the way back to the Garden of Eden with the lie that Satan told to Eve.
And it's a well-designed lie for today's world. Well, it's for all time, of course, but even more so in today's world, because it is the last days.
Yeah.
And most people have embraced it. And like you say, no matter what religion they are, it's kind of like an ecumenical lie where everybody's going for it at the same time.
Well, it's very pleasing. You know, if you go to a funeral of a loved one and the minister gets up and tells you, yes, our dear beloved wife, Winifred, is up in heaven now. She has died and gone to be where Jesus is, and she's looking down upon you and is comforting you and wants you to not have any concern or fear that she has, passed down to the lower regions of hell.
Yeah, nobody goes to hell anymore.
Yeah.
Nobody's headed there, because I can remember, you see this on the news and stuff like that. You got a Catholic priest standing over a grave, and there's a mafia hitman in the casket, and he's praying him into heaven because the guy donated a lot of money to the church. And I've been to many funerals in my day, and I've seen people. I mean, we're not God, we can't judge. But sometimes the priest or the pastor or the preacher, whoever's standing over the grave, doesn't even know the person in the casket, yet is praying them into heaven.
Yeah.
Doesn't even know that person.
But when you take that belief to the scriptures, you'll find that it doesn't hold up as truth.
No, it doesn't.
We're told in Ecclesiastes 9, verses 5 and 6, that the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything.
Well, they can't affect anything that happens under the sun.
So for those listening here, today, right now, determine to follow Christ and Bible truth, regardless of the cost. Isn't Christ worth it? Don't let it be said of you that Christ died in vain.
I mean, even science has proven the human body was created by a creator, and it was designed to live a lot longer than we're living. I mean, the brain itself can hold enough information that where if you learn something new every second, you wouldn't be able to exhaust it for over 3 million years. And we're only living to be 70 or 80?
Yeah, and we're only using anywhere from 1 to 3% of our mental capacity in the 80 years or so that we live.
But we do have eternal life ahead of us if we embrace Christ the Lord.
Well, next time we'll be dealing with the soul. Is it immortal, or does the Bible teach it different?
Yeah. We're out of time. This is Nicholas from Christ the Death Ministry. Stop by the website for all that you can hear more. LightMinistries.com. Take a look at the second. Take a look at the second.